Yeah.
You did it.
Yeah, it's verbal.
It's the right. Oh my God.
Am I not merciful?
I was gonna say it's the right, I think it's the right shade of purple, but
yeah, I was very careful. I tried very carefully to get the right shade for my skin tone, obviously, as one does.
What's so funny about all of this is you come across as someone who would have gone to Woodstock 99, right? Someone who'd be into like new metal. Someone who'd be like raging out to Limp Bizkit during his teen years. But you're just so far from that. That's not who you are at all.
I did this all for the nookie, I guess. to give you the music you crave. So look, the squad delivered, so I delivered, but I got some bonuses for you. So not only did I dye my hair purple, I dyed the tips of my ears purple. I dyed some portions of my shower purple. I dyed my palms purple. I've been scrubbing them the whole day, so it's mostly gone, but I've dyed all sorts of things purple by accident. There's a handprint of purple in my bathroom wall, so that's cool. Anyway.
This is important. Is this permanent hair dye? Meaning it's gonna remain until it grows out.
Yeah, which by the way is, you know, that's like 2 weeks because my hair is not very long. In fact, I kind of wish it was a little bit longer for this because I don't know, you can see it, right? It's pretty visible.
Oh, we can see it. We can see it, John. We can see it.
I think it looks better than it could have. But when I looked at it, I did not think, I finally found me. That is not what I thought.
No, you know, look, first off, you look ridiculous, of course, but this is the important part. This is the important part. You're a man of your word, John Iadarola. Mm-hmm. You give me hope for the future because we live, we exist in this environment full of deception, full of grifting, full of nonsense. But you, John Iadarola, are a man of your word, and that gives me hope. I'm sure that gives so many other Americans hope for the future. So thank you. This is one of the best things you could have done for me.
I will try to uphold the nobility and honor that the great kings of old clad in purple once did. By the way, going to a hospital later today for serious, that's cool for the purple hair. But anyway, and my wife didn't move out. That's good. I think that's about the extent of her eagerness for this purple hair. She will not be dyeing her hair purple, it turns out. But anyway, thank you everybody for helping Sabrina own me as usually only like Ken might. So that's cool. But we do have something. No, wait, people are already talking about it. Oh, you've already seen. Have you seen the purple dragon? So our awesome team, I believe it was Norma. I apologize if I got it wrong. Whip this together. So if you would like to show solidarity during my lowest period of my life, at shop2it.com, we now have the purple dragon. And can I just say, I've liked a lot of the shirts, but I think as much as it will forever be a reminder of how ridiculous I look with this hair, I think the purple looks best out of, we have green, red, and rainbow yet. I think this is the best. Doesn't that look perfect?
It's a purple dragon. It's amazing. I love it. In fact, I am not a big fan of wearing t-shirts. I would wear this t-shirt. I would wear this t-shirt on the show, which is like a big, big deal. So I don't know.
There's
if you
want to
send me one, slim fit V-neck. I'm just saying I might wear it. I might wear it on the show.
Me too, by the way.
In solidarity with you, of course.
Okay, team, can we get her a slim fit V-neck in time for the show? Maybe we'll see that. That's very nice. Also, we have to send one to Sabrina. That's the bare minimum. This is all her idea. My shame and the fact that we have all these new people in the community is due to Sabrina. So Sabrina, thank you for that. And for those of you who will find it difficult for the next couple weeks to hear me talk about serious issues, I apologize to the communities I will no longer be serving as well. But anyway, sorry, Anna, what are you gonna say?
I just wanted to say, look, I sometimes seek revenge, right? And sometimes revenge just happens naturally. And in this case, we got to remind the audience why it is that you had to dye your hair purple. Why was it, John? Was it because you doubted TYT's main show, the show that I executive produce and also what? Host? Is that you doubted it, right?
Because what are you talking about?
You should remind your audience about why it is that you lost this this bet. Why?
Because
why did you have to dye your hair purple?
It's so awesome that they gifted. Mm-hmm. Like 1,100 subs in one day. I think
to
you're
show,
gonna make this,
which you didn't think was possible.
I never said that was possible, that. Did you? I literally don't know what you're talking about. How dare you to mm-hmm. attack my honor when I am clad in royal colors? Anyway,
listen.
Yes, thank you.
Since you're a man of your word, since you're a man of your word, I forgive you for doubting the main show. But I will admit, I do love this very easy revenge. Like, I didn't have to do anything for it. I just got it. It was served to me on a silver platter. So thank you.
So I have one final question. When are we going to see Anna Kasparian with purple locks?
Listen, John, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. I don't play those games.
Okay, so wait, so you're saying that right now I'm in the find out phase of my hair after doing the phase that comes before finding it? Okay. Okay, well, I've been owned, so that's cool. But anyway, shoptyt.com. By the way, this is more of a personal thing for the team. If this shirt does really well, that is gonna so bolster. Every once in a while, I will just type, hey, we should do a this shirt. And usually they're like, well, a lot of the times they make it. A lot of times they're like, yeah, that's a great idea. But if this does really well, think about it, they're gonna take it more seriously. So come on, let's have some fun. Let's see some purple. Anyway, with that, thank you everyone for being here to mock me with purple renditions of Jenks art wearing sunglasses in the Twitch chat. Thank you for that. We do also have a bunch of news which we're about to get to. So thank you everybody for being here. If you could hit the like button, share the stream, that would be great. And as we go through, we'll be taking breaks. If you want to send us tweets, comments, super chats, all that, we'll be responding. But before that, Anna, are you ready to talk some news?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay, well, let's jump into this video.
Blanger.
Well, you know, I think there's a couple of issues here. First of all, you are absolutely correct in that the House and House leadership had the opportunity to vote to extend the moratorium. And there were many, and there was frankly a handful of conservative Democrats in the House that threatened to get on planes rather than hold this vote. And we have to really just call a spade a spade. We cannot, in good faith, blame the Republican Party when House Democrats have a majority.
Yes, we can blame them for many things. The Republicans suck. But this one, like so many other issues these days, is all on the Democrats. The Democrats had every bit of the authority needed to stop the eviction moratorium, the foreclosure moratorium from lapsing in many parts of the country. The Biden administration did challenge the Supreme Court decision that would end it on Thursday, 2 days before the program was set to expire. So you know they meant it. When they wait until 2 days before it's done, they say Congress would have had to pass new legislation to create an extension. It did not do so in time before leaving for an August recess. So the moratorium has officially expired. Of course, they had to have this recess because Congress people, like every American worker, get 6 weeks off a year. But anyway, so the Biden administration is basically saying, I mean, I would have loved to continue, but it's really on you, Nancy Pelosi. Well, let's go to Nancy Pelosi. She tweeted, the CDC has the power to extend the eviction moratorium. As they double down on masks, why wouldn't they extend the moratorium in light of the Delta variant? And I'm sure later today, the CDC will say, well, it was actually the Forest Service. They really should have done it. And then the Forest Service will say, it's the Sheboygan dog catcher's office which should have done it. Somebody do something. How about that? Because you didn't, and now it's done. And you can point fingers, but the issue is your finger pointing doesn't stop anyone and their family from being thrown out on the street, their lives being perhaps irreparably damaged by the experience that millions of Americans are probably in the process of undergoing, and more will with every passing day. We have a lot more on this, including some people who are trying to do the right thing. But Anna, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think that you're being a little unfair, John. You're being unfair to the Democratic Party. Because the fact of the matter is, right now, they're engaged in a very complex, complicated game of three-dimensional chess. They're thinking about the upcoming midterm elections, and they realize that, you know, the electorate, especially their base, absolutely loves it when they pass the buck, even as they control both the executive branch and Congress. Democratic voters love it. You love to see it. So watching Democratic lawmakers and the Democratic administration abandon the American people and decide to maybe do something in the final hour when it was nearly impossible to get anything done, that's leadership. That's the kind of leadership that Democratic voters have come to expect. Yeah.
I wish, so you joke there that they're thinking about the midterms or whatever, and maybe they are, but they're insane and not qualified. Right. They're not qualified to be coldly ambitious. They're not qualified to even boot morality, your political ideology, your obligation and responsibility to your voters, and just focus on staying in office. They can't even figure that part out. They stay there. I guess money is enough. I guess you don't need anything else, but they're definitely going to lose in the midterms. Like, and maybe this isn't even the best example, because one would imagine that most Americans would have a problem with throwing millions of people out on the street, but Americans are largely a cold, calculating people lacking in empathy. But on issue after issue, they're not even doing the easy popular stuff that they could do, let alone the more difficult stuff that's needlessly controversial. This would be a slam dunk to show that when the American people needed help, they provided it in a way that the Republicans wouldn't. But now they are no better. And I don't care if it's Biden that made them no better, or Nancy Pelosi, or the CDC, or some undersecretary at the EPA. I don't care. You're not better.
Yeah, I mean, look, what's really disheartening is you're watching, you know, Democrats pass the buck, when in reality, they know that they have tools in their toolbox that they can utilize in times of emergency, especially the executive branch. We're seeing another spike in coronavirus cases driven primarily from the Delta variant. It is an emergency. I mean, Florida now has over, or more than, I should say, 20,000 cases, new cases of coronavirus per day. In Los Angeles, or I should say California overall in the state, we have about 10,000 new coronavirus cases per day. The situation is dire, meaning that the executive branch in this pandemic, during this emergency, can make some pretty significant decisions in order to keep Americans safe. Extending the moratorium is a huge part of that, especially given the fact that the money that's been allocated for rental relief has not been given out by many of these states, including some Democratic states. They're taking forever to provide rental relief. So we're talking about millions of Americans who are living on the brink and could be evicted beginning today.
Yeah, that's gonna happen. The only consolation, I think, is that nobody saw it coming. And nobody has been talking about it for more than a year. No, of course, continue.
No, sorry, I'm gonna go off for one more minute. Yeah, because that excuse is okay, right? Think about that excuse in your own context, where you have huge responsibilities, either with your family or at work. You don't actually follow through with those responsibilities, and then you turn around and say like, I didn't see it coming. But in this case, we're not talking about an individual person making decisions about elements of his or her own life. We're talking about members of Congress. We're talking about a president. These are people who are elected not just to represent themselves or their corporate donors, but to represent the American people, period. And when they turn around and they wonder like, oh, why are we losing these elections? Is it because we use phrases like defund the police? No, it's because you guys don't actually carry out what needs to be done to represent the best interests of the American people. You don't provide protection during a pandemic. You don't provide shelter during a pandemic. And they deserve to pay the consequences for that. The only problem is the other political party is even worse, far worse. Yeah. And so we find ourselves in this awful situation. And I don't know what kind of advice to give American voters at this point.
Yeah.
I mean,
like if you were,
how do you, yeah, go ahead.
Well, imagine you get thrown on the street. And let's say that you work so hard to get your life back together. An election comes, who are you supposed to vote for? Like, the Democrats didn't help you. They let you be thrown on the street, but the Republicans would have let you be thrown on the street and then they would have kicked you in the stomach. So I don't know. That is rough. But really fast, I do want to give credit to some who have been good on this issue, including, well, like we showed the video of AOC calling out the Democrats and making sure that people know that it's the Democrats. We need more of that. And she's been talking about this looming crisis for more than a year. Ilhan Omar has as well, other members of the squad. Cori Bush slept on the US Capitol steps on Friday to protest not just the eviction moratorium going away, but the fact that so many Democrats flew back home to have parties or whatever for their massive recess that they haven't earned. What have they done? They passed the COVID stimulus bill. And I think they did something that everybody agreed on was super obvious about hate crimes. And that was it. So you get six weeks off. 6 weeks off. There's nothing that needs to be done right now. You know, the whole democracy bill and the infrastructure. We'll get back to it someday, maybe. Anyway, thank you, Cori Bush. By the way, before we go to our first break, I just wanted to say my hair thing sort of upset the normal flow of the show. Anna Kasparian, thank you for joining us on the show today. Everybody's super excited. People are coming in and they're like, hey, late to the show, it's Anna. I love that. Thank you. Francesca couldn't be here and Anna's filling in, even though she's one of the busiest people in this industry. So Anna, thank you. It is a pleasure, not just to do a show with you, that's always true, but to start a week with you, I love it.
I love it too. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Okay, with that, we are going to go to our first break though. When we come back, we're going to be talking about COVID, diving into some of what Anna was talking about, these terrible numbers. Maybe have a little debate over how we push people in the right direction after this. Okay, with that, it's me and a special Anna Kasparian joining us on the normally fantastic Mondays. They're now Anna-tastic Mondays. Thank you for being here, Anna. And with that, why don't we jump into our next story? We had a nice little intermission in the pandemic, but things are getting just as dark as we've been expecting over the past few weeks. There were 101,171 new COVID-19 cases reported to the CDC just a couple of days ago. The last time the US saw over 100,000 cases reported in a single day was nearly 6 months ago on February 6th. We had gotten through the dark winter, cases were falling relatively precipitously. And we thought at the time, maybe vainly, that hey, we will never again reach these heights, but unfortunately we have. And some of the states that have been leading this are doing just as poorly as one might expect. Florida has broken its old COVID-19 hospitalization record, reporting over 10,200 people hospitalized with the virus on Sunday. The previous record was July 23rd, 2020. When we had no vaccines, we had barely nothing. Maybe we were starting to stock toilet paper at that point, but we have now passed, despite having over 50% of the population there vaccinated. That's how poorly we're doing. The state has its highest ever per capita COVID hospitalizations. It hit its all-time high for new cases with more than 21,000 recorded. And by the way, so let's go to this chart because I want to make sure that people understood this. I don't mean they're high since the dark winter. I don't mean they're high of 2021. It's the most cases they've ever had, even back when we barely had tests and had no vaccines. But despite this, Anna, I still don't know that people are going to get how bad this is. That's right. Really, really bad.
It's really bad. And the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, basically has just made wearing masks in public schools, you know, voluntary. It's not a mandate. So he literally intervened in order to ensure that the public school systems in Florida don't force students and educators and administrators to wear masks. Great. Yeah. So it's just more of the same failed decisions extending into a pretty dark era for the coronavirus. And understand that for people who are vaccinated, yes, it is true that you can still spread the vaccine. Spread the virus among one another, even between two vaccinated people. But the point of the vaccine is to prevent people from getting hospitalized and from dying from the virus. So that's the point. But the reason why you're seeing the mask being mandated in various parts of the country right now is to essentially prevent the spread of the Delta variant to unvaccinated people who have a much higher likelihood of getting hospitalized and dying from coronavirus, from the Delta variant. And so it's incredibly frustrating because you're right. There was a period of what felt like relief, you know, when people were finally getting vaccinated, and you thought, you know, I felt like there was a light at the end of the tunnel, but unfortunately, no. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm very frustrated about the fact that we have to go back to wearing masks. I understand why we're doing it. It's not about preventing the death of everyone, whether they're vaccinated or not. This is specifically about unvaccinated people who continue to, unfortunately, buy the anti-vaccine propaganda on right-wing media. And I don't know what else to do about it at this point. I mean, all you can really do is make sure you're safe, that your family is safe. And I don't know, John, at this point, well,
we're gonna speculate in a little bit. Hopeless. We're gonna compare a few options. It's felt hopeless for a long time.
I know, but at this point, it's beyond hopeless. I mean, what are you gonna do to convince these people? They've been propagandized to believe that this is just a way of the government controlling us. I got news for you. You wake up every morning, you go to a job that you hate just to make sure that you don't end up on the streets or make sure you don't die. I mean, that's already government control. We're already living our lives based on the rules and the regulations of you know, the corporate world, of the government. I mean, the idea of people like making this their red line, like, oh, a vaccine that could save my life. This is my red line. This is government control. Okay, whatever, cool. Well, if you're so worried about government control, there's a likelihood that you're gonna get sick, incredibly sick, possibly hospitalized, and you're possibly gonna die as a result of this nonsense. And it's frustrating. I'm done with it.
Ken had a great tweet where he was like, I'm not gonna let them put that in my body. And then he had screenshots of all the different government efforts allowing more pollution in the air, more pollution in the water, the toxins, all this stuff.
Dude,
yeah.
Mountain Dew is legal. Mountain Dew is legal. Like, come on. People
see, we
put
all
that
have
kind of
our,
stuff in their bodies every day.
I used chicken fries last week. You're using Mountain Dew. I like Mountain Dew. But anyway, yeah, they put that. they're putting cattle dewormer. We talked about that in the pre-show. They're taking cattle dewormer. They literally say, I'm not gonna be sheep. And they use something used to deworm sheep. I've seen the packet. It's sheep medicine. But anyway, yes. So look, it's really bad. 80 to 90% of those in Florida hospitals are not vaccinated. And by the way, so you might say, well, 80 to 90%, wasn't it like 99% before? And that's true. It's possible we're seeing more breakthrough cases. But let's also bear in mind that that number is gonna be influenced by the percentage of the population that is vaccinated. The more people that are vaccinated, if you still have spread, necessarily more of those in hospitals will be vaccinated. But that said, right now they're also noticing, Tampa Bay Times says that the spike in hospital admissions is mainly among younger adults aged 20 to 40, even though I heard like on Fox News that they couldn't get sick. But anyway, over 1/3 of the hospitalized are under the age of 50. And all of this is with close to 60% of the Florida population being fully vaccinated. That is how insanely transmissible this is. I don't know how to make it any more clear. So if you want to be protected, you're not 100% protected. We've said that over and over again, but it is the best bet that you have. You should definitely do it. Now, let's turn to potential solutions. So with more and more people getting sick every day, the US skyrocketing past 100,000 cases, God only knows when we'll hit 200,000. What can we actually do? Well, there's been a few things discussed. And a recent poll shows, I find surprising level of support for perhaps the most extreme of the solutions, which would be a vaccine mandate. About 64% say they'd support a universal vaccine mandate across the US. 70% support it for getting on a plane. 61% for requiring it for children to go back to school. 66% for college students to go back to the university. And while obviously there is going to be a strong political thing here, 45% of Republicans support a universal COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Close to half of Republicans say across the board you should be required to get this. And 84% of Democrats do. So look, as of right now, I believe just over the weekend, Anna, I think Dr. Fauci and Biden both said that that's not going to happen. But were it to happen, it would of course help. And a lot of Americans seem pretty okay with it.
I think that the smart strategy here isn't for the federal government to hand down some sort of mandate. I think that it makes a lot of sense for private industry to, and public, you know, public organizations to ensure that people are vaccinated. If anyone is to either visit whatever business it is or use whatever service needs to be used. Honestly, I think the best way forward is to make life increasingly difficult for people who refuse to be vaccinated. And that's not the government mandating anything. That's you deciding that you want to be irresponsible. And if you don't want to play by the rules, then there are consequences for that. The sense of entitlement that comes along with this anti-vaccine crowd is also incredibly infuriating. You don't get to tell a business what they can and can't do regarding masks or regarding vaccines, right? I mean, these are the same people who like rise up as soon as there's any discussion about regulating these companies when they're robbing people. But when it comes to getting vaccinated to ensure that people are safe, to ensure people aren't hospitalized, that's where they draw their red line. Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna talk more about sticks in a bit. Here are some potential carrots. So I saw this, I believe it was Ken Klippenstein was, I mostly just go on Twitter for Ken Klippenstein. I think that's been clear for a long time. But anyway, he tweeted out the results of a New York Times Kaiser Family Foundation survey asking what may motivate people to get vaccinated. So if it was fully FDA approved, let's see. It looks like that might be the single biggest thing other than available from a personal physician. Man. How frustrating is it when you find out that one of the things that would be required for someone to take it is a thing that's already true, but that at least is a reminder that we need to communicate to people. But so for instance, if it was required to fly, that would be a pretty strong effect. If it was required for large gatherings, some of the things that I thought, like $100 cash is not a particularly strong incentive. Like now it could be higher. We could do another round of, you know, COVID stimulus that went to the vaccinated or something. Anna, would that, no, you wouldn't be interested in trying that?
No, sorry, stop acting like babies. Stop it. No more carrots. I think it's pathetic. I think it makes us look so embarrassing on a global stage where we have all these countries that are desperate to get their hands on doses of the vaccine. And here you have Americans with their sense of entitlement needing to be treated like absolute babies and children in order to get vaccinated. No, I'm sorry, I'm done with that. No more carrots, no.
Okay, well, in a moment, we're gonna go to a video and I think I now know what your take is gonna be. We'll see, I'm excited to find out. But really fast, before we go to that, I just wanna give Ken a little bit more credit because Ken, he had a tweet that, like, Ken has tweets that get 10,000 retweets every single day. This one is being criminally underrecognized for how good this is. He tweeted, "I don't get why conservatives are so alarmed by mandatory vaccinations. The proposal is really quite simple. Ilhan Omar is going to hold you down and vax you."
It's pretty funny.
It is.
Yeah, you know.
No, go on.
The ability to use humor to make a point like that, I think is super powerful. And Ken Klippenstein is like, honestly, currently he's the king of that.
He is Twitter's razor. Like he's so sharp. He just cuts right to it. You cannot come up with a nightmare stronger for Republicans than Ilhan Omar giving you life-saving medicine. That is it. But that gave me some joy when I saw that, I think early Sunday. But you know what gave me like the joy to close out a weekend that wasn't great necessarily? Is that Ilhan Omar liked that tweet. You can see it there.
That's amazing.
She liked
it. That's amazing.
That makes me so happy. Anyway, I want to meet Ilhan Omar. In fact, she's going on my top 10 list. Anyway, okay, so with that said, let's go to one more thing. We talked about the carrots, let's potentially talk about the sticks. Should we be shaming people who don't get vaccinated? Some really don't like it. Here's Howard Kurtz.
"I knew from the moment that CNN's Don Lemon denounced unvaccinated Americans for their idiotic behavior that we were headed into a surge of anger against those who haven't gotten the shots. That's why I played it last Sunday. Then the New York Times did a major piece on rising resentment among the vaccinated. But I say that's driven by the pundits.
If you're unvaccinated and you're going around without being tested. You are an arrogant, selfish SOB.
With COVID cases surging, I'm worried. I'm frustrated. I'm all for persuading and cajoling more of the 90 million unprotected Americans to get the vaccine. Their reluctance isn't just about politics, and the CDC's incredibly muddled messaging on masks is making things worse. But I'll tell you this about the unvaccinated. Ripping them and ridiculing them, slamming and shaming them isn't going to work. It just ticks them off. And these piling on pundits ought to know better.
The teleprompter just kills me. Anyway, so Anna, I think I know what you think about that, but you tell me.
I think that, you know, did we not just go through several years of literal adults moping around about participant trophies and how we need to baby children and you know, we need to ensure that, you know, these kids, they get a little bit of that rough life, so you know, they're not too soft by the time they're adults. These same people are like, don't shame me. Don't shame me for doing something incredibly irresponsible for myself and also the community around me. Don't shame me. Grow up. Grow up. Grow up. You can't handle it. You've made a decision. I don't care about your feelings. No one should care about their feelings, period. You don't want to get the vaccine? Fine. There are certain parts of society that you can't participate in because you've decided to be a child. But I'm not having a conversation about these people and their hurt feelings because they feel judged over doing something insanely irresponsible, something that harms themselves, harms the community around them. And let me also just address Howard Kurtz and his whining about the CDC's muddled message on masks. This is a worldwide pandemic, a global pandemic that is ever changing. We're talking about a virus that continues to mutate. And so the situation is fluid. And that means that the decisions the CDC makes, the actions we have to take are also fluid. If your brain is too slow to understand that it is a changing situation, an evolving, devolving situation, then you probably shouldn't be in the news. You probably shouldn't be in the news. There was a period of time where it seemed as though vaccinated people didn't need to wear masks indoors. Then we received more information indicating that vaccinated people, while it's very unlikely are gonna be hospitalized or die from the virus, are still likely to spread the virus. In fact, there was a recent report indicating that even vaccinated people have high levels of the virus in their nose and their throats, meaning that it's very easy for them to spread it to unvaccinated people and vaccinated people, right? Yeah. So the point here is people who are vaccinated are resentful because we could have been at a point where no one needs to wear masks, where most people are vaccinated, we're at herd immunity, and we're all good. If you're vaccinated, you're very unlikely to get hospitalized or die. The reason why you have to wear a mask indoors now is to prevent unvaccinated people from getting incredibly sick and dying. That's why people are incredibly frustrated with this situation, because no one wants to wear masks. Let's keep it real. No one likes wearing masks. But we have to do it to protect our fellow Americans. And unfortunately, those are the fellow Americans who are whining and crying and bitching about the fact that they feel judged because they're doing something irresponsible. Guess what? Sure. Yes, you're being judged. Get over it. Be an adult.
See, Anna, you were talking about not caring about their feelings. You know what doesn't care about the feelings? Facts. That's what I was told by conservatives.
I heard about that.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. Like the your point about the participation trophy, like look, whether it's we can debate what's most persuasive, but the argument they're making now is 100% not compatible with how they've always acted about everything. So you're 100% right there. Also on the ever-changing advice from the CDC, well, first of all, I'm sure it's being influenced by the fact that they know that right-wingers will freak out about anything they say. So that's an externality being put onto the CDC. But also, it's not just the advice that's changing, you dunces. The Delta variant is really bad and it did not exist or wasn't common a year and a half ago. Like the situation is changing. If the situation changes and the advice doesn't change to protect people's feelings, that seems weird. But really fast. So I think it's only natural when you're seeing these stories of people like, you know, asking to be vaccinated at the last minute to be really mad about that. And the fact that it's affecting so many people and want to shame them. I will do, so you do that. I'm gonna do this one other thing, which is that I know that when people have been conned, when they've been brought into a cult, when they follow a grifter, it is very difficult to get out of that because of the fear of the social stigma, the shame, having to admit that you've been duped. People don't like that. That's why cons work for as long as they do. And so, like, if you are watching this somehow and you're in that, you might think, well, I don't want to admit that I was wrong. It would be so embarrassing. But no, I understand why you'd feel that way. But that's not how you should think about it. You should think about it this way. You have been the target of a monumental amount of propaganda from millionaires and billionaires trying to convince you of insane things. If you can get out of that, that is amazing. That you as an individual could overcome this like sustained year and a half long propaganda campaign to make you potentially get sick and die. It is an amazing thing if you can get out of that. And if you're surrounded by people that don't agree with you, even more amazing. That's not a reason to feel shame, to feel embarrassed. That is the best thing you can do at this point. And I will gladly welcome you. Doesn't matter if you just decided, as I'm saying this right now, that you should take it seriously. You're one of us, okay? That's probably not gonna work either, but hopefully. So if you know someone who's not vaccinated, maybe share it with them. But anyway, that said, Anna, any final thoughts?
No, I think I made myself pretty clear.
I think you did. Yeah, I think you did. Anyway, okay, so with that, we are going to take our second break. When we come back, we're gonna go to lighter, happier news. We're gonna be talking about Joe Manchin after this. And thank you everybody for being here. I did wanna let you know that after the show, of course, indisputably, we've got another show coming. It's Indisputable with Dr. Rashad Ritchie. And his co-host shall be, I don't know, it doesn't say in my document, but it's a mystery to all of us. So tune in to Indisputable right after this show to find out. Oh, by the way, tomorrow, kind of a big deal. It's the primary for Nina Turner. So Cenk Uygur, Anna Kasparian, and Dr. Rashad Ritchie will be doing live coverage of Ohio's 11th congressional district race. You can tune in live at 8 p.m. Eastern time, 5 p.m. Pacific time on tyt.com/live, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. It's gonna be awesome. And I totally didn't even wanna do it. You didn't even need to ask me because I didn't wanna do it. It wouldn't have been really fun or anything. Anyway, no, I'm actually taking the day off. I'm taking the day off. Oh, anyway, so, okay. But no, Nina Turner, like, you know, for those of us who think that it's important for us to have good elected officials and haven't written off the whole thing of trying to push for progress, it would be awesome to have Nina Turner. So, tomorrow's the day. Like, Bernie was there, you know, stumping for her over the weekend. So, we're gonna see. Will the people power be able to overcome the millions of dollars that the super PACs have put in? Well, tune in tomorrow to find out. And that said, why don't we go into some other news? Oh, is that a Charlie I hear? I don't mind, by the way. Charlie would look cute purple too, little purple tail. Anyway, let's talk about some news. President Manchin is in charge of the possibility of a number of different things passing, including the voting rights bills, the John Lewis bill, as well as the For the People Act. That month after month has passed and nothing has been done. So it seems as if for it to pass, there would need to be a carve out in the filibuster to allow it to pass with just a majority vote. Just a majority vote. Will Joe Manchin allow that? Well, here he is talking about it.
I know you want it to be bipartisan, but I don't know how possible that is. The only Republican I've heard talk about this in a positive way is Lisa Murkowski of Alaska.
You know what I can't understand, Jake, and I'm sorry to interrupt you on that, but I cannot understand how did they pass 98-0 in 2006 and now it's not possible for that to happen?
I don't know, but is there any circumstance under which you could imagine allowing a carve out for the, I know you oppose getting rid of the filibuster, but there's some people in the more moderate camp, like Angus King of Maine, who's an independent, who said that he's possibly willing to step back from the filibuster, his opposition to getting rid of the filibuster just for voting rights because he's so concerned and it's become so partisan. Can you imagine ever doing that?
Jake, I can't imagine a carve out because I was here in 2013 when it was called a carve out. We're just going to do the cabinet for the president. And then it went into, we're going to do the judges who are lifetime appointments for circuit and district. They were even going to do Supreme Court, but they didn't at that time. The Democrats were in control. 2017, Mitch McConnell's in control, comes right back in, and guess what? That carve out worked to really carve us up pretty bad. Yeah. Then you got the Supreme Court. Okay, so there's no stopping it. And if we don't put this place back in order, you get rid of the filibuster, which makes us work together.
Okay, so I have a lot of thoughts there, but Anna, you're the guest. I'll allow you to go first. What do you think?
We're talking about an incredibly important piece of legislation that helps to not just reform our elections, but to protect our democratic system, to protect our ability to vote. And to also, by the way, if we're having a conversation about the For the People Act, as opposed to just the Voting Rights Act that Manchin is advocating for, would actually address the issues of legalized bribery in the country as well. So this is not a discussion about some small piece of legislation. This is really about the future of the country and Americans' ability to participate in our electoral system. And for him to make an argument about like, oh, but you know, the carve out. Turns out that Republicans are much stronger than us and they know how to get what they want and we're afraid of that happening again. So no, that's not really an argument. I don't see it as a valid argument. If anything, Manchin is essentially putting himself in the Democratic Party in a position of weakness and failure on behalf of Republicans in order to prevent the carve out that's necessary for this legislation, this important legislation to pass. And when you're leading from a place of weakness like that, you don't deserve to be a US senator. You just don't. He really doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, that's only the latest reason he doesn't deserve to be one, but you're totally right. So two things I want to say about that. The first is he asks Jake Tapper the question, well, how is it that in 2006 we had 98 votes and now we can't? Stop asking rhetorical questions rather than answering them. I wish that I could ban people from asking rhetorical questions. You're a US senator. How is it that it supposedly would have gotten so much more support 15 years ago? Is it possible that the Republicans have gone, I almost swore, badass crazy? Is that possible? No, really, I want you to answer a question. I want you to answer that question in a way that does not obviously hint that we need to change the filibuster. Because if you think it was something that can be reversed, make that case. He never does. He just says, oh, it should be bipartisan. Okay, yeah, that would be nice. It's not going to. It's not going to be bipartisan. They're never going to pass it. You're never going to get two, three Republicans, let alone the 10 you would need to pass it. So stop acting like a baby or acting like you think we are babies. And let's be serious about this because you have surrendered on this topic. And he talks about the carve outs. His point was, look at how the carve outs have expanded over time. They did it for the cabinet, then they did it for the judges, then Supreme Court judges. Now you want to do it for this? I will turn that on you. If there weren't those carve outs, do you believe that any of those people would have been approved by this Republican Senate? Because I think you're crazy if you think that. He wouldn't have a cabinet, he wouldn't have any judges. The only reason any of that was done was because of the carve outs. Which doesn't hint that we need less carve outs. It implies that it is the only solution to our problems because you're not going to get that bill without the carve outs. The only reason we can even have a probably pointless argument about infrastructure, which we're going to have in a few minutes, is because that can go via reconciliation. And the second point about the carve outs is he says, look, if we do it, they'll do it. I really don't think that that's the case because you carve out areas to pass without the filibuster if you have things you actually want to pass. And the Republicans don't. They don't want to pass anything. There's nothing they want to do that they can't already do. They can pass tax cuts without changing the filibuster. They can get their judges. Those are the only things they want. There's nothing else that they want to pass. The Supreme Court will give them all the social wins they want. They don't need to pass legislation. So he is wrong in like literally every way, Anna. But the problem is that we just keep fact-checking, answering his arguments, trying to persuade people, but he's not able to be persuaded because he's not thinking about this. He's looking at donations and acting accordingly.
Right, and that's really at the heart of this issue. I think at this point, my ire is more directed toward the system in which our and the way the media covers this situation, or like as if Manchin and other corporate Democrats in the Senate, whether it be Sinema, Tester, Warren, like acting as if they're acting in good faith. that their arguments are arguments that they're putting out there earnestly, when in reality, we know because of multiple pieces of evidence that we've gotten through wonderful reporting. You know, one of the stories being from The Intercept, where you hear Joe Manchin talking to billionaire donors to tell them, look, I know that bipartisanship is BS. But can you just bribe my Republican colleagues to vote along with me in some of this other legislation to make it appear as though bipartisanship is possible, so I can continue on with this like total charade like absolute nonsense? We know that he's fueled and motivated by the best interests of his corporate donors. That's really what's at the heart of the arguments he's making. It's not about the need for bipartisanship. It's not really because he's afraid of what Republicans can do in the future. It's really because he wants to provide some argument, some excuse, some cover for why the Democratic Party is going to be useless during this incredibly important time. That's what this is about. He's looking out for his corporate donors, period. He's not being a good faith actor here.
I agree. I think you're right. Okay, let's jump to a different topic. Actually, you know what? Let's go directly into this video.
Politico reports that when you brought up the federal deficit at a Democratic caucus luncheon on Tuesday, you were booed.
I'm not sure. You
were booed.
I heard a lot of no's. I don't know if it maybe is boo no or no boo or something.
Senator Joe Manchin is literally going with the "were you saying boo earns" line. No, they were not saying boo earns. They were booing you, because now, as we're getting closer to supposedly going through this reconciliation thing, well, the deficit, Anna, the debt. Think of the debt. We can't do anything. We can't deliver on our promises. And I don't even mean like Biden's promises. Joe Manchin, I will remind you, when Joe Biden came out with his like $2 trillion infrastructure deal or whatever, Joe Manchin was like, I'm cooler. I want $4 trillion in infrastructure spending. He never meant it, pretending you want more infrastructure. You've been trying to stop it every step of the way. But now he's very worried about debt. And more importantly, he is saying that we've got this bipartisan bill. It's totally awesome. Can't make any promises about the reconciliation one though. And so I wanna go to Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who was asked about this. What happens if they don't pass a robust reconciliation bill?
We have to hold out to that. We have to hold on to that bargain. If there is not a reconciliation bill in the House, and if the Senate does not pass the reconciliation bill, we will uphold our end of the bargain and not pass the bipartisan bill until we get all of these investments in. And I want to be clear that the investments in the bipartisan bill are not all, you know, candy land. There are some of these quote unquote pay fors that are very alarming that we need to see the language on. For example, some of the language around privatizing public infrastructure, putting toll roads, leasing public infrastructure to private entities are very concerning and should be concerning to every American. So we really need to see that language and see what's put in there until it reaches, you know, when it reaches the House. Bipartisan doesn't always mean that it's in the interest of the public good, frankly. Sometimes there's a lot of corporate lobbyist giveaways in some of these bills.
Sometime, like in the bipartisan one right now. So Anna, she's saying, we have enough people, we can tank this. He's saying he cannot promise that the reconciliation bill will pass, which from him seems like I will definitely kill it. And she says, in that case, we're not getting either. What do you think is gonna happen?
I think this is a fascinating game of chicken, and the Democrats, the progressive Democrats in the House should absolutely carry out the threats that AOC mentioned in that interview with Jake Tapper. Because so far, the person who has won the game of chicken has been Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin is the one who managed to get all sorts of concessions on behalf of the Republican Party in the final coronavirus relief bill during the Biden administration. And guess what? He did that in the name of bipartisanship. And how many Republicans voted for it? Zero, zero. We know what Manchin's doing here. He's looking out for his corporate donors. And what AOC mentioned there in regard to privatizing public infrastructure is a real concern. Yeah.
You're 100% right. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I really wish we could talk more about this, but we of course will as we get closer to that reconciliation bill. So anyway, everybody watching on the linear platform, thank you so much for watching. For those of you on Twitch or on YouTube, we do have a lot more news. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be back on the other side of this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.